On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came on your smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cut, she Tuesday.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show, and I am Ron Van Dam. Coincidentally, I'm taking over for myself today. I have a great show planned for you today. My special guest toward the end of the program, the Vienna Boys Choir. I could only find one boy, though, but he's nice. His name is Bob. The only requirement I have on this program is that you brush your teeth first and shower. Other than that, it's up to you. You in the back? Yeah, you in the back. Row four, third person in. You didn't brush your teeth. Get out of here. Oh, you did. You did brush your teeth. Sorry. My bad. Sorry. Doing today, huh? This is the we're coming to the end of March, the Ides of March. Ooh, I don't even know what that means. Ooh, sounds ominous. March is almost gone. April's beginning. We're getting into the nice weather and the when we can stand around with other people and make believe we like them and have idle conversation and eat food with them and listen to their endless babble about themselves and their insignificant lives that have nothing to do with you. Sit outside, enjoy the bumblebees swarming around your head and swelling up your arm after they sting you, and the mosquitoes biting the hell out of you, and all those wonderful moments outside with the humidity, and the sun causing all kinds of skin cancer. It's just going to be a great summer. Can't wait. Don't forget to get that potato salad and then put it out in the sun for 5 hours and then serve it. You know how to do it. Come on, let's go. How about some barbecue? Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Carbon encrusted food. Good. Sounds like I have a negative attitude, doesn't it? Maybe I do. Someone's got to look at the other side, you know? I think I told the story 1,000 times about how when I went to high school, I dated a cheerleader. And for the first 6 minutes, it was a wonderful relationship. After that, I realized I can't be with people that are that happy. I feel like slapping them, which you should never do, by the way. That's never acceptable. But you feel like slapping them, and don't you realize what a harbinger of doom this is? They don't get it. They cheer everything. Oh, look at the pretty daisy on the ground. Yay, daisy. Oh, my God, stop it. Stop it. Anyway, welcome to the program. I do have an interesting guest coming up later in the show, and I don't make any promises, so I'm already in a good shape. Do you exercise at all? You do? Okay, whatever. Anyway, I'm enjoying myself. I don't know about you. It doesn't really matter to me, to be honest with you. Yesterday, I was on my computer, as I am every day. Boy, we are so connected to our screens. If I'm not looking at a computer screen or a cell phone screen, I'm looking at a television screen. This is a screen world. A screen. Can you go through a whole day without looking at any screens? I say no. There are some people. There's one person I know who I say, oh, did you watch that television show, that series? And they say, well, I don't watch TV. And how is life on Venus? I mean, you don't watch TV? Do you ever go to a movie? Well, sometimes I go to a movie, but I never watch TV. I just don't have time. What do you do? Nothing really. I'm retired. How do you not have time? Anyway, so I was on my machine of visual arts, I call it. And when I get bored, which is a lot, when I get bored, I go to EarthCam. Have you been there before? EarthCam, it's free for the most part. There's a pay section, as there is for everything. Go to earthcam.com or net, whatever the fuck it is. And it brings you, it has live cameras of people just walking around different places in the world. And you can actually travel to other countries and other famous sites in the globe. You can be there like as it's happening right now simply by going to EarthCam. It's quite a remarkable thing. Sometimes I enjoy that. They have one of the popular locations that you can see on EarthCam quite easily is Bourbon Street, which is located, of course, in Louisiana, New Orleans. If you've ever had food from New Orleans, the Cajun food, Cajun probably, I think what it means is tons of salt. I think that's what that means. Anyway, so they have Bourbon Street, and Bourbon, that's, by the way, a street named after an alcoholic endeavor is obviously going to be trouble. So Bourbon Street is right around the corner from Scotch Lane and Vodka Place and Tequila Sunrise Boulevard. So anyway, yeah, you can see the people walking around Bourbon Street down there in New Orleans. They're walking around, and almost everybody, 95% of the crowd, are people under the age of 30. You know, maybe they're hitting the 30. These are they're not teenagers necessarily. They're the young people of today. They're the college-aged kids who don't think that they need to wear masks or anything like that. So that's what floors me, man. There's crowds of people, strangers on top of strangers, walking the streets. Sure, they're outside, but I can see on the screen, they're going inside into bars and things like that, into enclosed areas with strangers they don't know right on top of them. They might as well be having sex. By the way, to me, oral sex is simply standing near somebody and breathing. Same thing. I sat there and I just stared at these young people walking around because they've been taught by an ex-president and others that if you're outside and you're young, you don't have to worry about this virus thing that many people have heard about. They think that they don't get it. Let me tell you some numbers, kids. There are variants that have started to invade this country. And the variants are going for the kids. The kids are spreading themselves with spring break, campus parties. You kids don't realize you are now the target. the older people have been vaccinated. You better watch your ass, younger kids, because you's the target of the virus now. I wouldn't be so mighty, high and mighty, young kids. A lot of you are ending up in the hospital. So this is not the time to let your guard down. It's the time to be very careful, because soon you won't have to worry about it anymore, because even you will be vaccinated. Even you. But until then, wear your freaking mask, you dumbfounded little pieces of stupidity. That's all I have to say. Thank you. Now I'm going to drop the mic and walk out of the room dramatically. Anyway, yeah, go to EarthCam and watch these stupid young people walking around the streets like nothing's happening. Yeah, bring that home to your young adult parents. See how much they appreciate that disease from you. All right. Sorry. Sometimes I just get a little crazy. Oh, man. Amazon has pretty much become a relative. They are showing up at my house just about every day because my wife almost invites them over on a daily basis. Amazon, man. Here's what I understand about Amazon. They deliver like packages to every home every day, just about. And by the way, if Amazon is not delivering a package to your house, what's wrong with you? Get with the program, man. What they don't do, as long as they're going to every house just about every day or every other day, let's give them a break. Why don't they have Amazon returns like right there? Like, you know, here's what should be happening, literally. An Amazon driver comes up to your door, rings the doorbell. You open the door, both wearing masks, of course. The Amazon driver says, "Amazon." And the person at the door says, "Thank you." The Amazon driver stands there while the person at the door opens up the box, tries on the clothes, whatever the thing may be in the box. And then within about a minute or two, the person at the door says, "No, it doesn't fit," or "No, I don't like it. No, it's smaller than I thought. Take it back." And the Amazon driver just says, "That's what I thought," and turns around and goes back to the truck with the box. Easy peasy. Nobody gets hurt. I mean, come on. It takes a little bit longer for the transaction, obviously, because the driver has to wait for the person to try on the clothes or open the box and see what's inside. But not everything is returned, but a good percentage is. So I think that would be very efficient. Just an idea. It's just an idea. I'm watching 60 Minutes on last Sunday. There's a Boston company that is the leader in robotic experiments. Did you see this on 60 Minutes? Google this thing. It's incredible to watch. These robots have human, they're not little things on wheels that go, "It is time for your prescription pills, Mr. Johnson." They don't do that. They actually flex muscles. They walk with a gait. They run and jog like a human being. They are freaking scary. And they're interviewing the head of this Boston robot company. Extremely impressive. Younger guy, obviously. And a guy says, "You know, this is the future." And the 60 Minutes person says, "Well, aren't people going to lose their jobs because robots are going to take over?" And the guy says, no, it'll create jobs. You need a supervisor to supervise five or six robots at a time." Okay, I'm doing the math, and I'm not seeing that's creating a lot of jobs for people. More jobs for robots. Well, you have to supervise the robots. What are you talking about? And then I'm thinking, and the guy says, and then the 60 Minutes guy says, well, you know, a lot of people have fears about robots, thinking that they're going to take over the planet, that robots are going to be so far advanced that they're going to have intelligence and they're going to make decisions and they're going to start turning against human beings. That is going to be a component that is going to be put into, and they're going to have robot brains and all that stuff. And the guy from the robot company says, no, that's science fiction. That's not going to happen. Robots will be our friends. And then I'm thinking, oh my God, this is trouble. Robots could be our friends, but they could also be used to destroy us. Yeah, destroy us. These people in these companies only look at the good side of things. They don't look at the bad side of things. Robots can be used, when developed properly, to destroy us. Yes. All it takes is a mad, crazy person, and there's plenty of them. One of them was even the president of this country once. I know. Hard to believe. An evil person, again, of which there is a large swath of them, can take a nice robot who's you know, folding cartons, nice robot, and program them to do things. I don't want to be a doomsday kind of guy, but I'm just telling you, this is the way it always goes. This is the way we develop something wonderful, and some really evil person turns it into something horrifically horrible. Self-driving cars, great idea. The cars are smarter than people, quite obviously. The cars don't text. Cars don't eat sandwiches while they're driving. Cars don't fall asleep. So driverless cars, scary, but this is being developed. This will happen. Driverless delivery trucks. I don't know how that works, but fine. What would it take for a crazy person to commandeer or somehow get into the computer of a driverless car and commandeer this car into a crowd of people? I don't think it would take much. What would stop a crazy person from taking a driverless car and putting some type of explosive device in it and then parking it near a crowd of people? I don't think it would take much. What about these drones? Ooh. I'm surprised that this hasn't happened yet, but what's the stuff? I mean, a person can walk into a Best Buy, buy a drone, attach some type of horrible device to it, and fly it anywhere they want and be perfectly safe. We don't need suicide bombers anymore. We have drones and driverless cars. These pussies won't even get hurt when these explosions go off. I'm sorry. I'm just saying. Somebody has to bring this up. You can't develop things without developing safeguards so that the things aren't used for evil purposes, because that's been the legacy of the human race. We develop these incredibly wonderful things, and then we go, oh no, some evil person has made it horrible. Guns don't kill people. People do. Oh, here we go. Well, take that theory a step further then. People do it. Does that mean we shouldn't have technology? No, I'm not saying that. It means that when we do the technology, you better think it through. All this computer stuff. Oh, do I sound old when I say that? All this computer stuff. Wonderful. Incredible. But in the hands of the wrong people, can ruin society. Surprised it hasn't happened more so yet. All I'm saying is, when you develop good things, think about the bad things that can happen to the good things that you're developing. And take those safeguards before you develop the good things. Usually for monetary reasons. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, my guest joins us momentarily. But before they do, or he or she does, I don't know, we're going to take a short commercial break. You ready? Are you seriously ready? Well, how about this?
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickerscheck the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickerscheck the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified, high-quality, shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickerscheck. I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Ruth Davis is director of Call for Code. We'll talk about that in just a second. As everybody probably knows and better soon start admitting to, that our biggest concern is the climate change and what we're doing to the environment, because this doesn't reverse itself. It's something we have to get involved with. And I know that this is a baby for you, I realize. Call for Code, that actually was created in order to help out with the situation, I understand.
Absolutely. Call for Code, Ron, is the largest and most ambitious tech for good platform. It brings together the world's developers and problem solvers to take on the most pressing societal issues, and climate change certainly is one of those. Since we launched in 2018, the movement has grown to over 400,000 developers and problem solvers from 179 nations. And what we really love about Call for Code is that while winning teams do win a monetary prize, that's really when the work begins. Those solutions that they develop are successfully incubated, they're field tested, and deployed in the communities where they have the most impact.
Isn't that what it's all about? You know, we used to depend on governments to solve all our problems, and we would just sit back and have our lives. And we didn't get that involved, you know, some protests here and there, but the government took care of stuff. Didn't work out that well for most things. Here's something that's incredibly pressing as far as a global situation is concerned. And it's very refreshing to hear that citizens and companies and just regular people can have the incentive to take it on their own, solve it on their own, and solve this problem without governments getting involved. I'm not anti-government or anything. I'm just saying it didn't seem to work in the past.
Well, we're absolutely thrilled to be able to provide a platform for individuals to make a difference leveraging technology. And I'll add that the great thing about Call for Code is you do not have to be a developer to get engaged and make a difference.
Right.
We have students and people of first line, people on the front line, healthcare workers, novice developers, and very experienced developers can all get engaged.
Good.
We know that climate is so, so critical. And this year for us, we have new partners that have joined us, Ron, which we're very excited about. They are Heifer International and Charity Water. They are lending their humanitarian expertise in the areas of water and hunger and climate protection.
Mm-hmm.
So giving guidance to the developers so that their solutions will have the most impact on the ground. And because climate change is such a broad theme.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Brian.
No, I'm sorry. You continue, please.
Yes, I was just going to mention that because Call for Code is such a broad theme, we're going to focus on three areas within it, and that is clean water and sanitation, zero hunger, responsible production, and green consumption.
Wonderful. Give us some examples of some of the ideas that have been presented in the past through this program so we can see what direction these things take.
Yes, I'll give you one example is Agrily. So this was a solution, an app that was developed to help small farmers make smarter decisions as to what to grow and where in places like Mongolia and Brazil as they face significant challenges due to climate change. The agricultural industry is one of the most vulnerable to climate change because of its dependence on rainfall and temperatures. Agrily, Ron, was actually built by a team of students from all over the world. And since winning, Agrily has expanded their solution into new markets and provided hands-on training to 500 small farmers in rural areas of Mongolia, India, and Brazil. And now they're working with us and our IBM Service Corps team on a deployment plan to continue expanding and improve their technology over the coming months. That's just one example, and I have others.
So these prizes or these recognitions can help people financially expand their ideas. Is that what it's about?
That's exactly what it's about. It gives the financial underpinning, but I believe the resources that the ecosystem that we provide really makes the difference because we get to go into the actual communities and do the field testing and actually help those communities leverage these solutions that they were designed for.
Wow. I understand that the winning team's cash prize is $200,000. Is that right?
That's right. $200,000 to get started. And like I said, that's when the work begins.
Yeah. And that's where the prototypes can be, can take care of that financially, because those get expensive. Boy, we need a cavalcade of ideas, and those ideas that are good actually put to the test and actually activated. This is an effort through many companies, isn't that right, Ruth?
Yes, we have clients that are supporting us, sponsors. It takes a village to do this, and we're very proud of the ecosystem that is part of Call for Code. And as I mentioned, anyone, and that's the value of an open source community, can look at the code that is available once the solutions are available on the Linux Foundation platform. That's one of our partners and program affiliates. And they can go in, touch the code, customize it for their particular geographies and locations. Uh-huh. That is tech for good.
Excellent. All right. Where do we go to get more information?
If you go to ibm.com/callforcode, again, that's ibm.com/callforcode, you will get all the information that you need. You'll be a part of the Call for Code community, access to resources, and maybe even find a partner to team with and begin building a solution and sharing ideas.
Great. Just having this conversation gives me a little bit of hope, and that's what I was looking for. So thank you very much. Ruth Davis, pleasure speaking to you. Well, that'll do it for me today. You have been wonderful throughout this entire experience. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. My hopes are very, very high. Maybe they shouldn't be that high, but they are. But until tomorrow, I wish you peace.